Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Well, how many of you are married this morning? A bunch more of you wish you were. Or you're underage. So this morning we're going to start talking about marriage. We're going to be doing a series called For Better or Worse. This is something that affects and impacts every single person's life, regardless of who you are. This year we've been talking about living in the now, N-O-W, no opportunity wasted. And I believe this is an area people need help now. And so that's why we're going to be talking about this. And this is an area we can't afford to be ignorant in our lives, whether we're married or single at the present time. But an interesting statistic to me is to know that the average American marriage only lasts 8 years. 8 years. So if you've made it longer than 8 years, congratulations. You've beat that, and we believe you can finish.
If you've been married longer than 8 years, let me see you stand up. Stand up.
8 years and up. Everybody, 8 years and up. Stand. Amen.
All right. If you've been married 10 years or longer, stay standing and the rest of you sit down. 10 years or longer. 20 years or longer, stay standing.
All right.
30 years or longer, stand, stay. Man.
Amen.
40 years. Man, they're still standing.
Hallelujah.
50 years. 50 years.
My goodness.
50 years. Look at that. Three couples. How long have you been married? 53? How long have y'all been married? 57. And how long have, who was standing up? 52, man.
57 years. God bless y'all.
That's a long time.
Come on, let's hear it. 57 years of faithful marriage. Hallelujah. That's what it's all about. That's what it's supposed to look like. Somebody said marriage is like a good card hand. When you start out, you need two hearts and a diamond, but by the time it's over, you need a spade and two clubs.
That's terrible.
Why are y'all laughing?
I was wondering why you were pausing so long.
That's funny. Nobody sets out, though, on their wedding day and they say, man, I hope this one fails.
You always dream about your wedding day, but you don't dream about getting divorced.
50% of all marriages, 50% of all first marriages will end in divorce. I think it's about 61% of all second marriages and 73% of all third marriages will end in divorce. You know, I went hang gliding in Raccoon Mountain, Tennessee a long time ago, and they strap you in the glider and you run and you don't take a step off a cliff, you jump. And once you do, here we go, baby. It's all on from there. But you know, if they would have told me your chances of survival are only 50%, I promise you I wouldn't have jumped off that cliff. If somebody told you your survival rate for going and flying on an airplane was only 1 out of 2, would you buy the ticket still? I mean, if they told you driving home today or if you go out today to the grocery store, you know, 50% chance that there's going to be a fatality in a car accident, would you still go or would you at least do something to take some preventative measures like maybe not eating cereal while you're driving down the road? Do something to increase your chance of survival. But here's the deal. No wonder the world is scared of marriage. No wonder the world is scared of commitment. No wonder the world is scared of being hurt. And in this series, it's our desire that every single week you come, this is like doing an intense therapy session with the Holy Spirit. The most anointed thing we will ever handle is the Word of God. And so every week we come together, we're saturating your life with an area and an emphasis from God's Word, which is able to do the incredible and the impossible in our lives. And so we encourage you through this time to expect to meet with God through the pages of His Word.
Here's how the world thinks about marriage. Oprah, everybody knows who Oprah is. The talk show host doesn't see the point of marrying her partner of 17 years. She said, and I quote, "A piece of paper does not define a life." I always knew that was not the answer for me. I was like most women, though. I wanted a man who I wanted to know he did want to get married. So I'm telling you, after he proposed, I was over it. I do believe that if we had gotten married, we would not be together today. The traditional role of marriage would not work in this relationship.
You know, the sacred institution of marriage has come under a lot of fire in our society and in our nation. And it's because the world is not seeing a better way of doing life. And that's really what the church is here to do. Amen? We're here to show the world that this really is the best way of doing life, because this is God's way of doing life. This is the designer's way. The Bible says in Mark chapter 10, verse 7, I want you to read it with me on the screens. Jesus speaking says, this explains why a man, and he's quoting from Genesis 2, this explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife. And the two are united into one, since they're no longer two but one. Let no one split apart what God has joined together. Jesus is saying that from the beginning, God's perfect plan for people is that there still be one man and one woman that do life together until death do they part, and that together they would be an unstoppable and unbeatable force that are called husband and wife. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 through 12. I want you to see this. I use this at every wedding we do, and I'm going to read it to you from the New Living. It says, two people are better off than one. Somebody say two. How many does it take to reach agreement, Jesus said? Two. Two are better than one. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
Two are better than one, for that was pretty robotic. For they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated. But watch this. Two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. God designed that marriage be an unstoppable force in the earth, and that together, somebody say together, that the husband and wife together would be the greatest reflection of the totality of God's personality. It takes the two of you together to reflect God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
You may be sitting there thinking, so is marriage still a good idea with 50% of them ending in divorce? Absolutely. Marriage is a good idea because it is God's idea. His way, his plans, his ideas are still the best way to do life. Do you believe that this morning?
Amen.
His word is the blueprint for building the best life.
Marriage isn't broke because God's not broke. I said, marriage isn't broke because God's not broke. Your Bible says in James that he is the giver of every good and perfect gift. Every good and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Marriage was one of the first gifts God ever gave man. After he gave him life, after he gave him dominion and those things, he gave him unity between man and woman, between a husband and a wife. So if God is the giver of good and perfect gifts, then marriage is a good and a perfect gift. And we've been created for companionship. When God, after creating everything, he said, man, it's good, it's good, it's good, it's good. But he looked in Adam and he said, it's not good. It's not good that you're alone. Just ask Marsha. I was trying to open up a roll of cinnamon rolls this week. And I couldn't, you know how you peel it off around and you whack it on the edge of the counter and it pops open? I couldn't even get the thing open without tearing the cinnamon rolls apart. She's like, I don't know how you made it before me.
I say that a lot. I still can't figure out. How did you live on your own?
It's not good that I was alone. But Proverbs 18:22, that's really our key verse for this morning. The New King James says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. You're my good thing.
Absolutely.
Look at your wife and tell her today. Look at your wife. Tell her, you're my good thing. You're my good thing. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. But I love the way the message says it. It says, find a good spouse, you find a good life. I won't name any names, but there are some men that have taught me over the years, 9 years I've been here with you at Victory, that happy wife, happy life. Find a good spouse, you find a good life, and even more, you find the favor of God. Wrong person, wrong path. Right person, right path in our life. And so it's important that we understand how to pick the right spouse, that we take time to look at this, because this is really where success in marriage begins. And there's more to picking the right spouse than just being in love. Choosing a life mate is no accident. And we want to take a look at what the Bible says we should be looking for in a spouse.
And if you're already married, these keys will help you help your children find the right mate in their life.
So we're going to talk about five keys to compatibility this morning.
The first key is spiritual compatibility. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 and 15, it says, "Don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever?"
I want you to read that last line one more time.
How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever?
How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? The Bible says, do not. Somebody say, do not. The Bible says, unequivocally, do not enter a relationship with a person that is not a believer. Amos chapter 3, verse 3 is one of my favorite scriptures. We always talk about it when we do our partnership class. The Bible says, can two people walk together unless they be agreed? God made it absolutely clear that a believer and an unbeliever have absolutely no business together.
And you may say, man, that really narrows my options. Well, let me tell you, I can testify to that, because when I was a teen and I was single, I had guidelines. My parents set rules. I could only date guys that were saved. And I'm not talking about guys that say they're Christians. They had to be saved. My parents had to know what kind of family they came from. And let me tell you, it narrowed it down so much you would not believe. And I didn't like it. And there was some times that I threw a few fits because I couldn't understand why I couldn't go out with this so good-looking guy with this sports car. And it was like, absolutely not. If they're not saved, you are not allowed to go with them. And you know what? Now that I'm grown up, I am so thankful for those guidelines. I am so thankful. I wasn't then, but I am now. We need parents to be parents and set guidelines for their teens. We need adult single people to take a stand and side with the Word of God. Do not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever.
Amen. That's good.
No matter how good they look, no matter how much money they have, how funny they are, what kind of car they drive, no matter what, if they have so much going for them, but they are not saved, they are not an option.
Amen. And that's not our opinion on this. That's the what the Word of God has to say, okay? We're just taking this straight from the Word. And I want you to understand something very clearly today, that when you've fully surrendered your heart and life to Jesus Christ, anybody done that here today? I mean, I've given my life to Christ. I'm in love with Jesus. One day I will bow at His feet and I will wash His feet with my tears out of gratitude for what He did for me. I mean, I'm grateful. I've been forgiven much and I love much. That's you here today. And you got to understand, when that happens in you, you don't think the way an unsaved person thinks. Some of you have learned that firsthand the hard way. You don't act the way unsaved people act, or at least you shouldn't. There ought to be a difference. We don't love like the world loves. We don't handle our money the way the world handles money. You know, the world would think what we're sitting here clapping about today about giving is crazy. Give to get? No. Give your way into plenty and not poverty? No, it doesn't make sense. But we don't think like the world thinks. We don't spend our free time the way unbelievers do, or our weekends the way unbelievers do. You know, unbelievers don't understand why you're going to waste a Sunday morning that's perfectly good in the house of God. We don't choose friends the way unbelievers do. We don't feel comfortable going to the same places that an unbeliever would feel comfortable going. And so when we're saved, it defines us. We're changed totally, completely, eternally from the inside out. Our faith becomes our new identity. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. We're brand new creatures. There's something that goes on deep inside of me. And I want you to take that relationship that you have with Jesus, that is that pearl of great price, and that one wonderful treasure that you esteem higher than anything else. And I want you to go marry somebody who could honestly care less about the most important thing in your life. They're blinded to seeing your way of doing life. They don't see what you see. They don't hear what you hear. They don't think the way you think. And it's because they've been spiritually blinded. Their eyes have not been opened. Jesus said in John chapter 3 that unless we want to see the kingdom of God, you've got to be born again. The thing accepting Jesus Christ as Lord of my life does is it opens my eyes to a new and a better way of doing life. And so their eyes haven't been opened. Here's why. Dead people don't see. And the Bible says that we are dead in our sin. And they can't understand why you waste your time going to church or why you'd read an ancient book with no possible answers for the issues that they're facing today. You want to build your relationships in the house of God. They want to build their relationships outside the house of God. You're going to want to raise your kids God's way. And you're going to do it alone because they can't appreciate the importance of that. You want to support the Great Commission because you know what God's done in your life. And you want to see it go forward to other people's lives, and they want to buy another bass boat. This is what life is going to look like when you're married to an unbeliever. They're darkness, and the Bible says you're light. Your father is God. Their father is Satan. God is not the father of all of us. Josh Payne didn't say that. Jesus Christ did. He said, you're of your father, the devil. You're under the influence of a Holy Spirit. They live under the influence of the spirit of the world, of a carnal spirit, of an evil spirit. You live in the light of eternity. They're living within the temporary. You're full of life. They're filled with death. You have an upward call. Their life's a downward spiral. And then we want to get angry when we're not on the same page after we say, I do, because we override God's admonition to not be connected to an unbeliever. And I'm going to be honest with you today. That's not fair to that unbeliever. They're just doing what daddy's telling them. They don't have the same father we have. And then after we've overridden the word of God, then we want to call the pastor and come in for counseling and all those things, because we could have skipped the heartache had we have just listened to what the word of God had to say the first time around. Can you say amen?
Josh and I, we talk about the Bible. We pray together. We worship, and we talk about the Lord daily. We follow His direction, and we're sensitive to Him. We pray together when we're hurt, when we're in need, and when we have a decision to make. I can't imagine not having somebody that believes the same as me, somebody that I can't call up and say, hey, Josh, I need prayer right now. We need to come into agreement to see this come through. You don't want to be the only one grounded in the Word. You think being married is hard enough on its own, but being married to someone that believes nothing like you, no church, no Bible, no prayer, that's when it gets tough.
Amen. You know, and here's another thing. Are you at the same place in your walk with the Lord they are if they're a believer? Are they casual or are they committed? Are they a professor or are they a possessor? Are they a pretender or are they a contender? Because if you're going after God and you're on fire for God and, you know, they're just a wet blanket, that's going to be a problem. You've got to be similar in your passion for God and understanding that. You know, are they Christian in name only? Well, I prayed a prayer at one time, or they go to church. But the question is, the real question is, and the real proof is in the fruit. Do they have fruit in their life? Jesus said, you'll know them by their what? Did he say gift? He said, you'll know them by their fruit. Do they have a passion for God? And the easiest way to see if somebody has a passion for God, I'm going to give you the litmus test right here. If they're passionate about God, are they chasing him? God wants seekers. He said, seek and you shall. Knocking it shall be. Asking you shall. God is looking for people to seek him. The wise men sought him for three and a half years. That's why they're wise. And wise men will seek him and chase after him. The proof of desire is in pursuit. Are they chasing after God? Amen? And that'll reveal to us where they're at. If they're not saved, then do not date that person. Very simply, we're in violation of the word of God if we do.
But I love when people come and say, but we're just having fun. We're just getting pizza. We're not getting married. We're just making out. We're not getting married. Josh always says, you can fall in love with a fence post.
Yeah, you got to be careful where you set your eyes, where you set your affections. You can fall in love with anybody. I mean, what starts out is going to get a pizza and making out a little bit ends up a marriage, and 20 years later you're miserable because you overrode the principles of God. And let me say this morning too, and just touch this briefly. You've got to have more in common than just Jesus to make a marriage work. You can't override everything else. I'm glad they're saved, but if that's all they got going for them, they ain't the one for you. God's got somebody better for both of you. And I heard a lot of people say there's a lid for every pot. They might be the lid for somebody else's pot, but you keep trucking. You got to have more in common. It takes more than just Jesus to make a marriage work.
Amen. The second key is character compatibility. In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1, it says, choose a good reputation over great riches. Being held in high esteem is better than silver or gold. And in Proverbs 31, verse 10, says, a wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. It doesn't matter how slick, how smooth, how good-looking they are, how wonderful their words may be, character matters.
Yeah, it does.
Let me tell you, Josh had slick hair. Anybody remember that?
Everybody. Some of y'all weren't here before the days I looked like Phantom of the Opera.
He had slick hair, and it was back, and it was tight.
Should have stopped me.
He was smooth, believe it or not, and he's extremely good looking. But most importantly, he had a heart after God, and he had character. I could trust him. I didn't have to worry about him lying. He had my best interest at hand at all times, and he put me first.
Amen. I want to see that Proverbs 31:10 again, because here's the thing. It says this, and it could go for a husband or a wife. Proverbs 31:10, here's what it says. It says, a wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Listen to me. Your character makes you valuable. Character. We are suffering a character crisis in our nation. We have exalted charisma and personality above character. Character matters. It matters so much in the kingdom that you will be judged on character and on fruit before anything else. Jesus said, they'll come to me in that day and say, didn't we work this miracle and that miracle in my name? And they'll say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Character is important, and character is what makes us valuable. And here's what you need to hear this morning. If you're just dating and they've already shattered your trust and they've already cheated on you and they've already hurt you and done things to make you wonder if you can even trust them, I don't care how sorry they are, if you take them back now, you are asking to be a doormat for the rest of your life. You are telling them it's okay to treat me like that. And I want you to understand that you are a son and a daughter of the King, and you are nobody's doormat. God has given you dominion to be over and not under. He said, my people are going to be the head and they're not going to be the tail. And here's the deal. Dating is the trial period. If they're treating you that way now, adios, Jack. Amen? You're on the test drive. I mean, you're on probation. And if you screw up now, nah, we're done.
If they lie before you're married, they're going to lie after. If they're a thief before you're married, they're going to be a thief after you're married. If they're cheating on you before you're married, they're going to cheat on you after you're married. If they're sneaking around before you're married, they're going to be sneaky after you're married. And if they're controlling before you're married, you better look out. They're going to be more controlling after you're married.
So
if
true.
You can't trust them, you've got a problem. If he's stealing from his grandma to take you to McDonald's, You've got a problem. What do other people say and think about them? Are they people of integrity? Do they have divided interest?
Character, it's critical. What kind of work ethic do they have? How about that one? My babies aren't that old right now. But Tony, we've got girls, you know. It ain't going to be long before boys are showing up around the house. If you ain't got a J-O-B and a C-A-R, hit the road, Jack. I want to know you can take care of my babies. They have a daddy who's taking care of them. Eric Campbell, you take care of your girl. Barbie, man, Josh has got his work cut out for him. He knows it. See, she's got a daddy. He's not afraid to say it because he takes care of his family. Mark Borek, man, it's not going to be long. They're going to be coming hanging around the house. I embarrassed her. But they're going to know she's got a daddy. And they're going to have the work cut out for them. Because as daddies, we've done our jobs taking care of our babies. Do they get up before noon? Can they hold a job? I hear women say this. I want a man to take care of. Well, look, if you got to take care of him, you don't have a man, you got a boy. Because boys need to be taken care of. But men take care of their families.
That's right, and sometimes women are like, I don't need a man to take care of me. But let me tell you, in the book of Genesis, it talks about when God created a woman, and he took a rib from Adam. And why did he take a rib from Adam? So she would be beside him. A godly woman knows her place, and it's an awesome place. It is not a degrading place to be. There is no place that I would rather be than right beside him. I don't want to be under him, and I don't want to be over him, but I want to be where I was created to be, and that is right beside him.
Amen.
Does their moral compass still point north? Do they have value doing the right thing? If not, you're hooking up with someone sowing bad seed, which equals a bad future. Character matters. Are they open and honest, or are they hiding things, living in shadows? Do they respect you?
Yeah, that's good.
If they're flirting and hitting on others while they are with you, do you think that's going to stop?
You know, there's nothing that disgusts me more than being out in public and seeing a married guy with his wife and kids, and he looks the woman walking by up one side and down the other. Y'all ever seen that? You ever go out the mall and you see, y'all ever go to the mall? You know what I'm talking about? I mean, that's just ridiculous. That's a lack of character.
Do they tell you one thing and do another? Are they a person of their word?
Do not. Somebody say do not. Do not overlook character flaws while you're dating in hopes that you'll change them after marriage. It's not your job to change them. You're not God. Only God can change people. Amen? My job is not just to find the right person if I'm single. My job is to be the right person. And I believe if we'll focus on being the right person, God will connect us to finding the right person. So save yourself the heartache. And if they're not a person of character, kick them to the curb, baby.
Yes. The third key is emotional compatibility. You see, everybody looks good in candlelight. You can't see too much. There's just that little flicker in that dim light. They look beautiful. They look handsome.
Why'd you look at me when you said that?
You look good in candlelight. And spotlight. But what's under that facade? You need to thoroughly unpack who they are.
It's true.
What issues are in their life? Have they healed from their last three relationships? Or maybe their last three marriages? Before you've decided you're going to give them your life and let them parent your children, you need to think about those things.
Yeah, we've got to get in their business. If you're going to marry them, you need to know their business. You need to know their past. You need to know where they come from. Marcia knew everything about my past. She knows that every man on the pain side has been divorced. That's important. Because what you need to discern when you're praying about whether that person is right for you is, you need to know, is this a person that's going to repeat history? Or is this a person that's on a path to breaking generational curses, that is chasing after God, that's going to blaze their own path and be a history maker, not a history repeater? It stops with me in the name of Jesus. And I don't have to go through that. Just because your dad was an alcoholic doesn't mean you have to be an alcoholic. Just because your mama was abusive doesn't mean you have to be abusive. You can be free, because who the Son sets free really is free indeed this morning.
Absolutely. You need to know how they behave when they get angry. Do they act crazy? Do they get physical? Do they throw things?
Well, you're going to meddling now.
What? Why did one of those hit a nerve with you? What do you do? Throw things?
I've been known to throw things.
Yes, he does throw
things. I mean, I can wind up like Randy Johnson and put a pair of socks through sheetrock.
Good thing it's just socks.
I'll be honest. The Bible says confess your faults one to another. I've had a problem in my past with throwing things.
Does that person build you up, or do they tear you down? Do they bring out the best in you or the worst in you? Does that person make you a better person?
That's good. Are they going to help you get to heaven? That's an important part. Are they going to help you on your journey? Are they going to help you get to where God's called you to be?
If you're thinking about marrying a person, I got two words for you, and they're important words. You need to go slow.
That's true.
Go slow. Time is your ally, not your enemy. God is never in a hurry, so what's the rush? Time is the great revealer. Josh says this all the time. Time is the great revealer. Some things can only be seen over time. That's when the emotional issues come out. That's when character flaws begin to show up. And who they really are and what they're really about comes over time. Anybody can act great for a few days and a few weeks.
Yeah, that's true. Anybody can look great for 2 hours on a Friday night. Give them a little bit of time and you'll start seeing what's under the surface. But here's the deal. I want you to understand. Y'all know me well enough by now. We believe in redemption. We believe in God's power and his ability to restore and make brand new. But here's the deal. You got to see some fruit. I mean, this is the person you're talking about spending the rest of your life with. We want to see results. And don't think twice that you're going to change them just because you said I do. There are plenty of people who made that mistake. And hear me closely. If that's you and you married them and you did change them, praise God that you prayed them through. But you are the exception, not the rule. And you could save yourself a whole lot of heartache, again, if we would just follow God's word and look for people with that emotional compatibility.
The fourth key is communication compatibility. Proverbs 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue.
Death and life, both are in the power of our tongue. Proverbs 10:11, it says, the words of the godly are a life-giving fountain. How important are your words to the atmosphere of your home? It's critical, the person we marry, that their words give us life. The words of the godly are a life-giving fountain, the Bible says.
Proverbs 10, verse 21 says, the words of the godly encourage many. Do your words encourage or discourage?
We want to be encouragers. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 14. I like this one. From the fruit of his lips, a man is filled with good things. Isn't that interesting? As surely as the work of his hands rewards him. The Bible says your lips are at work just like your hands, and you'll be rewarded by what's coming out of your mouth.
Proverbs 18, verse 20 says, wise words satisfy like a good meal. The right words bring satisfaction.
Communication. Everybody say communication. Communication. Everybody say communication. Communication. Say communication. Communication is critical. Here's the deal. Marriage is a social setting. You've got to be able to communicate. You can't marry no caveman. You don't want to be grunted at. You need somebody you can communicate. You want to talk. You want to share life. Here's what communication is. It is the verbal and nonverbal process of sharing information in such a way that the other person understands what you're saying. Effective communication is no accident. It's something we've got to develop. And here's the deal. Good communication is three things. Most of us think it's one. Good communication is not just talking, but listening, and not just listening, because anybody can hear, but it takes some effort for you to understand. I mean, it's like the old boy that said, me and my wife had words last night. Unfortunately, I didn't get to say any of mine. You know, that's not communicating. Communication is more than talking. You've got to listen. And does that person listen to you when you're talking to them? And here's the deal. Listening doesn't mean I'm just sitting there thinking about what I can say next.
Are you sure?
That
works out pretty good for me.
When you're dating, how many of you remember what it was like when you're dating? I mean, you're in love. Love is blind, isn't it? You remember what it was like to date? Has it been that long?
No one's saying anything.
Remember what it was like to date? Yeah, I mean, there's pixie dust in the air and somebody's playing a harp and you can read each other's minds. You can finish her sentences and she can finish yours. And then one day you say, I do, and it's like, all that's gone. I mean, it's out the window, and it's amazing. I tell Marsha all the time, hey, I failed mind reading class. If you want something, you got to tell me. I mean, draw me a picture. Send me a letter. You're going to have to draw it out and make it real clear for me.
So I guess I had to draw a person walking out to the trash and then to the trash burn barrel with a match. I'll try that today. I'll get a piece of paper and a crayon.
Well, I guess for me, I'd have to put no fire on top of the cell phone.
Well. Can you talk to them about anything? Or maybe can you just talk to them, period? Do they make you feel stupid? Do they communicate the little things? It's not the big things that lead to breakdowns. It's the failure to do the little things.
Amen. Very true.
The fifth key is sexual chemistry compatibility. Now I see you just perked up. Wasn't listening the first 20 minutes, you're ready to listen now, right?
Sexual chemistry compatibility. This is important.
Choosing is not all spiritual. If they are the right person, there will be a strong sexual attraction. God designed us that way.
Amen. Why do you think when Adam saw the woman God created for him, the first thing he said was, whoa, man. I mean, there was nothing deep and spiritual about Adam calling Eve woman. It is two words, whoa, man. God, you knocked it out of the park on this one. And that is natural, and that's the way it should be. And there's got to be not just that spiritual connection, but there's got to be, I'm just going to be honest today, that sexual chemical connection. And thank God for it. I mean, if you're not that physically attracted to them, that's a problem. It should be just about impossible for you to keep your clothes on before you're married. And notice I said just about it. Some of you are dipping your head like, yeah. Oh my goodness, I can't believe he's saying this in church. But here's the deal. Here's the two things nobody wants to talk about in church. Sex and money, and everybody wants more of both. I mean, come on, let's talk about it. God talks about it. Isn't that right? Let's talk about it in the house of God. There's something special for this place. God created us to be not only in love with the person, yeah, I know inner beauty, blah, 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 but we ought to be physically attracted to him. I thank God every morning for the face I get to wake up to.
That's why our engagement was only 4 months. We did not have a sit-down reception. We ate a piece of cake, took a picture, and we left.
Yeah. I mean, here's the deal. Theron's probably gagging right now. He's like, I don't want to hear this. But here's the deal. I mean, for those of you who have never-ending receptions, God bless you. Show me to the fellowship hall. I want some homemade mints and peanuts, and I'm out of here, Jack. You know, there is something to be said about that chemical, physical, sexual attraction between two people. My great-grandparents, incredible people, in their 80s, still on staff at Cornerstone Church in Nashville, Tennessee. And my great-grandfather one day left the office early. It was about 1 o'clock, and he said to Pastor Davis, he said, hey, do you mind if I cut out early this afternoon? And he said, sure, what's going on? And he looked at him and winked and said, it's my anniversary. 80-some years old, and the fire is still burning, and that ought to be there because, you know, that playful attraction that never goes away is such an important part of our lives, and it's like the devil does everything he can to get us to have sex before we're married and everything he can to get us to stop having sex after we're married. And that's the exact opposite of what God wants for us. And the Bible says when you get married, your body's not your own anymore. I belong to Marcia and she belongs to me. And when we come together, Jesus said, Paul said, that is a picture of the unity between Christ and the church. And that's an incredible thing, that even that moment in your life is an act of worship between the two of you and God.
I was at Sam's a while back and there was this two, it was an older couple. They were probably 70 plus years old and they were holding hands and they were walking to the bathroom, and right before they split for him to go into the men's and for her to go into the ladies, he took a hold and grabbed her hiney, goosed her, got a big smile on his face. She smiled back and they both went their separate ways in the bathroom. I was like, man, they are happily married and they were old. Don't feel bad if you're 70 plus. They just seemed older.
Well, you can't be attracted to your spouse when you're older.
I guess you can't.
but here's the thing today. I want you to understand it's critical who we pick. If you choose the right person, you choose the right path. And it's better to be single wishing you were married than married wishing you were single. The most miserable people in the world are not single people. They're the ones who are unhappily married. And if you think you're lonely when you're alone, it doesn't even compare to the loneliness and the pain that you'll feel when you're living in a house with someone else who could care less about you. They don't celebrate you. They're not interested in you. And they don't believe in you. It will suck the life out of you. Don't do it.
If he's not pursuing you now, get ready, because he's not going to pursue you later. Josh pursued me while we were dating. He ran over tables and he got to me. And he's still pursuing me today. That is so important. Learn to embrace and enjoy each season of your life for what it is.
Yeah.
Whether you're married, whether you're single, maybe you're divorced, or maybe you're widowed. He makes everything beautiful in time. The five keys to compatibility are spiritual compatibility, character compatibility, emotional compatibility, communication compatibility, and sexual compatibility.
Listen to me close this morning. The Bible says, I'm the shepherd of your souls. Your soul is my greatest concern. If you are dating today and you don't have those five areas, get out of that relationship. Pray about what God would have you to do. You can make the right choice. You can make the right decision, because you don't want to have to try to make something work that you shouldn't have been in even from the start.
Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you realize that you are with the wrong person. You're in a wrong relationship. Remember, God has one better.
So true.
He never takes something away and offers us less in return. Josh realized 15 years ago that he was engaged to the wrong person and was on the wrong path. But he made a choice, and he got out of that relationship, and look what the Lord has done.
Here's the deal. 12 years, like a never-ending date. I'm not just blowing smoke at you. It's not a load of baloney. Those of you who are close to us, you know that. Your marriage can be heaven on earth. And your life mate can be the most important asset in your entire life. Marsha's all the family. She's my family. She's everything to me. But here's the deal. If you're sitting here this morning and you're already married, and this is so important that you hear this, and you realize after hearing this today, you may have made a wrong choice in who you married, and you're struggling today, I want you to understand that these five things we just gave you are not valid reasons for you to leave your spouse, okay? Once we say I do, even if that was the wrong person, then all of heaven comes to your side to help you make that marriage work. And no matter how difficult your situation might be, there's hope. And God is able to do the impossible. And you say, Josh, I don't have the faith it takes to fix what I'm going through. Look, how much faith does it take? Jesus said if you had faith like a mustard seed, you could say to the mountain, be moved, and it would go from here to there. There are people sitting here today that would, I could tell stories. I mean, today, I mean, we would put Kleenex Company out of business. You'd be in so much tears. But I have watched how beautifully God has restored their lives, and He has given them a future, and He has given them a hope. Why? Because His grace is greater than anything we face, and God is pro-marriage. He is for you. Amen? And He will come to your side, and He will come to your aid, and He will assist you no matter what you're facing today.
Don't marry the person you think you can live with. You deserve so much better. Marry the person you cannot live without. Don't settle. Don't be in a hurry. You're worth so much more. You're a child of the Most High God, and He wants you to have a life here on earth that's amazing. That's awesome. It says in John 10, chapter 10, verse 10, that Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You don't have to wait till you get to heaven, but you can have it right now, right here on earth. It's so important to make the right decisions, the right choices. But thank God you're not alone, but He gives you a set of guidelines. He gives you an instruction manual, the Bible, to help you and to guide you through this life. Amen?
Amen. If you're thankful for the word today and the instruction God give us, why don't you give Him praise? Stand to your feet if you would. Man, I'm so glad today that God gave us an instruction manual and a blueprint for building a successful life. With every head bowed and every eye closed here this morning, maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Maybe you've been dating God. Why don't you get married today? Why don't you commit your life to Jesus today? We do that with vows, just like getting married. The Bible says if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and you confess with your mouth, Jesus, you're Lord of my life, you're saying I do to Jesus. When we come into relationship with Him, there's so much blessing. There's so much intimacy and closeness there that He provides for us. Maybe you're here today, you've been living away from God, you've been running from God. Today, run home. You're not far from God. You're not far from the life you've dreamed of. He's as close as the whisper of His name. And if you're here today and you say, Josh, there are things in my life separating me from God, and today I want to make Jesus Christ Lord and Savior of my life. I want to make a vow to Him. I want to commit my life to Him. Without any thought of who's around you, would you slip up your hand today? I want to pray with you this morning. Today is the day of salvation. I thank you for your honesty. Is there another one here today? Thank you for your honesty. I thank you for your honesty. Is there another one here today? Just wave at me where I can see you today. Is there one more? Josh, today I want to make Him the Lord and Savior of my life.